The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Gross & Schuster.
I could tell it wouldn't be long that he was with me, yeah, me. And I could tell it wouldn't be long that he was with me, yeah, me.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. Good morning, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And up next, we have Terrence Gross with Gross & Schuster, who's with us this morning. Good morning, Terry, how are you?
I'm doing well, and glad to be here. Of course, we're doing it by phone. I'm in my car, so running some errands, and at the same time, hopefully the audio is good, but yeah, I always come in with a topic you asked before, and it's a topic I haven't talked about in years, but it keeps on coming up repeatedly in my practice, and people need to know about it. And it's what you would call, or the lay people would call, the loser's payroll in Florida courts. Now, I never will forget about 15 years ago, I was on one of your sister stations, talk radio, and we were talking about torts, and a guy called in. You could tell he didn't like personal injury lawyers or personal injury cases. And his comment was, you know, there wouldn't be so many lawsuits if we had the loser's payroll in Florida. And I said, well, sir, we've had the loser's payroll since 1986. And he goes, oh, that's not right. I said, are you a lawyer? And he goes, no. I said, well, you better look it up, because I am a lawyer. And I remember when it was passed, and I've been subscribing to it since 1986. In fact, it was there before 86 with medical malpractice cases. So basically, the loser's pay rule was instituted by the legislature to eliminate a lot of personal injury cases, to make small stakes cases so threatening, or increasing the stakes of poker so high, that some people would rather just settle than gamble on going to court. Because in the old days, if a plaintiff went to court and they lost, you know, they're asking for money, they lose, that's it. They don't owe their lawyer anything under the contingency fee agreement, and they wouldn't owe the insurance company. But with the loser's payroll, you could be rear-ended and not do as well as you wanted, and you may owe the insurance company tens and tens of thousands of dollars. So it's high-stakes poker now. How does it work? Well, the loser's payroll can only come into play, number one, you have to have a lawsuit. So it's not like a letter you write or whatever. You have to have a lawsuit, you have to wait 90 days, and then you file a special piece of paper, and it's called a proposal for settlement. It says, here's our number. We are willing to settle this case once and for all for this number, and the offer is good for 30 days. If you don't accept it in 30 days, it's deemed that you have rejected it. And if we go to court, and as a plaintiff, if we get 25% more, then you pay the plaintiff's attorney's fees and costs. And if the defendant files one and it's 25% less, then, of course, the plaintiff would have to pay. So let me give you a real-life example. I mean, a good scenario. Let's pretend it's you know, a garden variety whiplash case, and the plaintiff wants $40,000. The injured party is asking $40,000. They file a written offer for $40,000. Well, if they go to court and the jury says over $50,000, because that's 25%, if the jury says over $50,000, then the insurance company may have to pay over $100,000 more in fees and costs, even though the jury just said $50,000. Meanwhile, in that same case, if the insurance company offered a written offer proposal for $10,000, and the jury comes in at less than $7,500, then the plaintiff who got rear-ended and actually got a $7,500 verdict, a small verdict, but still a verdict, it's still deemed to have lost the case and may owe the insurance company tens and tens of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
Now, a true life example, yeah, it's so when it's done, and it's worked. It's worked. Because in the old days, my plaintiffs, you know, I didn't have to have these discussions. Now, these people that are all, you know, set to go to court, they're geared up. Let's go to court. They blow ball me. They call me a faker. Let's go to court. And when I tell them all this, they look at me and go, wait a second, Mr. Gross. Are you saying that we go to court and the jury just doesn't buy everything we're saying and we don't do so well? That I, personally, me, I'm going to pay tens of thousands of dollars? And the answer is yes, that's true. That can happen.
Well, I appreciate you talking about this because I think this is something so many people really have no knowledge of. So if you have a question for Terrence Gross with Gross & Schuster, we are listening right now to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Send in that question by text, 850-437-1620.
Right. So a real-life example is about, 10 years ago, I tried a case in Santa Rosa County. It was a sheriff's deputy that got rear-ended by an ambulance. And he saw a chiropractor. They ordered an MRI, showed a herniated disc. He sees a surgeon, and the surgeon says, you're going to need a cervical fusion. You're going to need to have surgery on your neck. Well, first of all, my guy was in his late 30s, and a police officer really wasn't wild about doing all that. And two, he was the single parent of a six-year-old boy, and he's going, how can I be in the hospital? Who's going to watch my boy? I have no relatives in the area, and if I'm incapacitated, there's no way I could do this. So he never had the surgery, even though he was told to have it. So we wanted $100,000 for that case. The insurance company offered us $40,000. I file a proposal for settlement saying we'll take $100,000 in the next 30 days. They file one for $40,000 saying we'll give you $40,000 in the next 30 days. And, of course, we both rejected it. We went to court. And the jury came back at $250,000. They gave us money for the future surgery. They believed that eventually the young man was going to have surgery. So we won the case and got $250,000, which is a lot better than $100,000. But then the judge gave me $100,000 fees on top of the verdict, along with $17,000 costs. So my client basically got to have me try the whole case and didn't have to pay any attorney's fees and costs.
That's incredible.
Because of the loser's payroll. And so a lot of plaintiff's lawyers don't like it. But I kind of like it. The reason I like it is because I consider myself to be very reasonable, and my evaluations are based on reason. They're not based on emotion. A lot of my clients come in, and they want a lot of money because their neighbor got some money, or they saw a TV ad or a billboard. And I'm saying, well, every case is different. And that person smiling on the billboard that said he got $300,000, he probably had surgery, probably owes $60,000 to $100,000 in bills, and they don't tell you that. So I try to explain everything to the people, all the pros, the risk, and whatever. But it is sobering as a result of this loser's pay rule, there are, you know, less cases that go to trial because it's sobering, and a lot of plaintiffs, you know, don't want the risk. And truthfully, even insurance companies that may be pushing the envelope and they're trying to save money, and all of a sudden they're looking, oops, we may not be able to save money here.
And I'm sure not very many people know about this, the loser's pay rule.
No, the average person does not know about it. And lawyers don't really call it, that's a lay term, because we call it the proposal for settlement rule, but it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, of course, we now have mediation, which is somewhat different, but until 1988, we didn't even have mediation. And mediation is not arbitration. Mediation is where you get into a room with a skilled mediator who is trying to point out the weaknesses of both sides. And a skilled mediator could probably settle probably 80% of the cases that come to him. So as a result, there's less cases that go to trial, period. So back in the day when I was young, like in 1983, I tried 15 jury trials. And really, it was very common to at least try at least three personal injury trials a year was pretty normal. Now, most lawyers don't try it may be once every two, three, four, 5 years, because between the loser's pay rule and mediation, a lot of cases just end up, you know, going away, as you can imagine.
Well, all
and
those
that's the design. So that was. Go ahead.
I was going to say, as you're talking, I'm sitting here thinking of the millions of commercials I've seen over the years that's from attorneys that are promising so much money. And like you said, it's almost false advertising, isn't it, in a way?
Well, it's not false advertising. It could be a little bit misleading. I'd rather use the word misleading, not false.
Okay.
Because I'll give you a couple examples. So there's one heard people, a lot of the lawyers say, they advertise, if you get nothing, our deal with our law firm is, if you get nothing, we get nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, that's every lawyer. Every lawyer operates in a contingency. So that's just stupid. I mean, it's like saying, McDonald's, we put ice in your Coke for free. We, you know, I mean, so what? I mean, we get a Coke, there's always ice in it. So it's just silliness. But then even some of these guys that say, well, $3 million settlement. Well, what if you're a bad lawyer? What if you're a bad, lazy lawyer and someone is killed in a car wreck by a Coca-Cola truck with $10 million in insurance and they have two small children and they were making $80,000 a year? Well, that case may be more than $3 million. Maybe they settle for $3 million, but maybe a more experienced lawyer, a more tenacious lawyer, could have gotten $5 million. So the fact that some lawyer settled a case for $3 million totally is unimpressive to me. It just means that some poor soul, you know, walked into their office with a big case. But it doesn't mean that was any great job by the lawyer.
It's all relative, isn't it?
It's all relative. And again, you got to be smiling faces. I hate these billboards, especially when you go towards Gainesville, where you see the billboards and the people are smiling and they got a check in front of them for $300,000. Well, they look normal on that billboard, so it makes it what the lawyer's trying to say, you come to us, you'll get $300,000 under whiplash. BS. Total BS. That person that got that $300,000 probably had surgery, probably owes a lot of medical bills, but you can't see it on the billboard as you go by at 60 miles an hour. So advertising is fine, but you can graduate law school on a Friday, and if you have enough money, buy billboards on a Monday.
Right.
So it doesn't make you an experienced. So that's why people should check out lawyers and, you know, are they board certified? How long have they been in practice? I love the cases where you see these young lawyers. You'll see about a picture of maybe three or four young lawyers. They'll say over 60 years of experience. They got four lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's combined. I got 45 years, just me. So, I mean, it's kind of, or they have these law firms in practice since 1958 or something, they'll say, and you'll see the person on the billboards in their 40s. Well, how could you be in practice? I mean, so obviously some other lawyer founded the practice, so it's not false advertising. It's not false. It's just misleading.
Mm-hmm. If you're just tuning in to us, we're talking with Terrence Gross with Gross & Schuster on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. If you have a question, especially about the loser's pay rule that we're discussing, text it in at 850-437-1620.
Yeah, so anyway, so there's a lot that goes on. So what happens, a lot of times, say, if there's a wife that's injured. Now, sometimes the husbands do show up, and a lot of times they don't. So when they come to retain me, it's the wife. And then, you know, all my letters to the wife, and she comes in and every now and then talks to me, and all of a sudden we're ready to settle, and then comes the husband for the first time, and I'll go through the case, and I'll say, I think this case is worth $50,000. And the lawyer goes, what? I mean, the husband goes, what? Only $50,000? Are you kidding me? And without any input, and then I have to sit there and school this guy. Well, do you know about her prior condition? Well, she only saw the chiropractor a little bit before the accident. Well, I got 42 visits, sir. And she last saw the chiropractor only 30 days before the wreck, and her complaints to the chiropractor are the same that she has after the wreck. I got the records here. You want to read them with me? And then all of a sudden they start becoming like the turtle. Their heads, you know, they pull back. They get, you know, all macho trying to. But these cases are not tried in a vacuum. If you think insurance companies hire incompetent lawyers, that's silly. They're going to hire the best lawyers they can find. And those lawyers are going to dig, and they're going to dig, and they're going to dig, and they're going to get records from 10 or 15 years ago, and did the person have prior MRIs? You know, all these things that come into play. I met with a husband and wife yesterday, and the wife, her priors were significant, and she tried to downplay it. So, well, it's so much worse. I said, ma'am, I'm sure it is worse. I'm sure you feel worse. I am positive you feel worse. But look at these records before. The records before sound almost like your records now. And I'm just saying the records. So that's what the jury is going to see. So it's your subjective feeling that you're worse, and I'm sure you're worse, but you can't ignore prior medical records. Prior medical records are usually one of the reasons that some cases are lost in the courtroom, and especially if people deny the priors or, you know, trying to diminish it and say, oh, that wasn't a big deal. Well, if it wasn't a big deal, why did you have an MRI of your neck 3 months before the wreck? I mean, you just don't walk around and have an MRI. MRIs are not a daily routine exam. I mean, there has to be a pretty significant problem for a doctor to order an MRI.
So unfortunately, these advertisements that are misleading set people up with expectations of what they should or shouldn't get. And until they get an attorney that can do what you do, they can set themselves up for a lot of trouble.
Well, that's true. That's why it's a two-edged sword. Not only do they set the expectations of some plaintiffs very high, but I think they hurt the jury pool of potential jurors, because everybody that looks at that, you know, adults, so you end up in a jury. And you're tired of all these lawyer ads. You're tired of all these billboards. And so the time you get to a trial, you're going in with a jaundiced eye saying, oh, is this another person that's going to take a car wreck and treat it like the lottery? But meanwhile, it could be a really true person, a really valid person with a legitimate injury, maybe invisible, because your neck pain and back pain, herniated disc, are real, but you can't see them. You can see them on the MRI, and that's why a lot of these cases, we spend all this time on the MRIs, and the radiologists come in, and the neurosurgeons come in, and they describe all this stuff, but outwardly the person looks normal, but the jury pool is probably being poisoned by all these lawyer ads, I think. I think they're poisoning the jury panel.
Well, that certainly makes sense.
So, anyway, so these are just, I'm just trying to, you know, let people get a little taste of my world, you know, what I see out there. But as a result of the loser's pay rule, as a result of mediation, the good news is that probably only 1% of all cases actually go to court. Now, I just had a case where the insurance company offered me $7,000 3 years ago. I wanted $150,000. We get a court date, do all this work, all these depositions. I can't tell you the work. It was set for trial in February. They just paid me the $150,000. But the $150,000 today is not the same to my client because I had to spend over $20,000 in costs. So I got to get paid back for all my depositions and subpoenas and doctor's fees and whatever. So that's $25,000 less that my client will get in the pocket. But the case to me was always worth $150. It was worth $150 3 years ago, and it's worth $150 today in my mind.
And that's fair because you have to be able to tell your client to give them, I mean, it sounds like you do give them an estimate of what they realistically might gain from this lawsuit.
True, and I always give them a lecture. If they do want to push the envelope, I let them know about litigation, that litigation is expensive, that the cost of doing everything just to file a lawsuit is $600. Your first set of depositions is over $1,000. If you start taking any doctor's deposition, it could cost you maybe $5,000. Court reporters, videographers, just copies of this. It's just amazing how much we spend once we file suit.
Well, Terry, you've got about 2 minutes left here, so do you want to wrap it up and maybe give some folks information on how they can reach you and contact your firm?
Yes, sure. This is Terrence Gross. I've been a lawyer here in Escambia County for 45 years. I practice with my three sons. They're all my law partners. We have five offices in Milton, Crestview, Mary Esther, and Navarre. If you wish to call us, you can call 850-434-3333, excuse me, or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Okay, we've been talking with Terrence A. Gross, who's the attorney and founder of Gross and Schuster Law Firm. And as he said, you can go to their website, grossandschuster.com. The phone number, 850-434-3333. Thank you so much for being with me today, Terry. I really appreciate your information. You have such a long-standing experience in this community and certainly know the law well. I had not been familiar myself with the loser's pay rule, so I think this was just a fascinating conversation. So I appreciate you calling in today.
Well, take care. Thanks.